Good morning, Ebenezer, family and friends. Are you excited that you made it? Can you put in the chat, I made it? Wherever you're sitting or standing, say, I made it. You're like, what did I make it from? Through Thanksgiving. I know many of us were challenged, family and friends, that whole process, but it's so good to be alive and loving Jesus. He is worthy of all the praise, honor, and glory. I want you to stay in prayer, stay focused, and continue to grow in the Lord. If you see my background, we're going to be dealing with that today. God wants us to mature in Him. He wants us to really grasp the calling that He has on our lives, especially in this season. I want to thank you, as always, for being living epistles. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today, too, that the Lord has literally made us walking Bibles, those who believe and love the Lord with our whole hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And we've got some ways, even with Ebenezer, that we can grow in the Lord together. Our Bible reading program at ebcnc.com. Please check that out. We are ending this year almost, and then we'll be going to 2024. Isn't that amazing? 2024. Well, we'll be starting another Bible reading program together as a church family, and it will be chronological. Yes, chronologically, we're going to walk through the scripture. You're like, Pastor, aren't the books chronological? No, they're not. And you'll find that out as we read together through the Bible. But we just thank the Lord so much for His mercies and His kindness. And as we read together, you'll see, yes, some books do come after others, but the pieces and parts of those books can actually be dispersed in different places. So I am looking forward to that reading together with you. So get yourself prepped up. Don't wait to January. Go ahead and jump in where we are today. Day, and then we'll transition and we'll get to that book of Genesis, the beginnings. Thank you, as always, for staying in prayer for our Monday night Bible studies. We have different teachings and trainings at 7 o'clock at ebcnc.com. And then on Tuesdays, our noonday Bible study, where we're going through the book of Genesis. And then on Wednesdays, on that virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke and soon to transition to the book of Acts. So just learning the history of the church. Our Thursday Bible study at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7, right there in the sanctuary. We invite you out if you have time. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We just finished a study on angels within the midst of 1 Corinthians, and we're continually learning more and more about the church and God's expectations. Then, as always, please continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person service, 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. I want to thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver that we can actually purpose in our heart. That's what it's all about. So thank you for giving a portion of your income and just helping us to reach out to so many. We have had so many opportunities, especially during this holiday season already, to touch the lives of others, people abroad, people near. But we thank the Lord for the body that, again, we are an examples of His hands in this season and time. Well, I'm thinking about the word today. You're going to be blessed. If you were with us on last Sunday, we were in 2 Peter. We're going back to 2 Peter, and we're going to traverse through that chapter today. And just want to hear from the Holy Spirit as He speaks to our hearts. We'll see you soon.
I'll be reading from 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because to do this, you were so called for that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
I
Isn't it so good to know that we found the answer when we learn how to pray? We're still learning how to pray, but thank God for His Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all truth. Let's pray. Before we go any further, let's just pray and just ask the Lord's presence as He speaks to our lives. Father, we just come to You right now in the name of Jesus, and we just thank You that You are a wonderful God that hears our prayers. Father, as we approach this word, I lift up those who may be listening and viewing that don't know You. I pray that their day be today. Lord, You have been adding to the body as You see fit, and I am so grateful for that. So right now, would You help someone to really come to the saving knowledge of the truth of You, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You have raised them from the dead, and You said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from You. Oh, that they receive that gift, God. Now, Holy Spirit, we sense Your presence already here. Would You teach us? Would You guide us? Would You lead us into all truth? Would You make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like You? Lord, thank You for Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And you put in that chat, amen, wherever you're sitting, standing, just say amen. As we get back into the fulfillment of our calling, man, we have really been learning how much God wants to use us. And I'll say this so often, especially in this season, as we see governmental foundations falling apart, as we see wars and rumors of wars, darkness descending upon the land, God wants us to be a light in this cold, cold world. Well, let's go back to that memory scripture. We have been reading it aloud so we can get it into our minds and seep into our hearts. That 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. If you would, wherever you are, would you read it aloud with me? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good just to know that God has us even in tough times? Well, let's progress to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to go and focus in on that 17th verse. From last Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about that to help us transition, but we were in this book, and I told you if the Lord allowed, we were going to go through this entire chapter. I want to focus in on 2 Peter 3:17. It reads, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." I want to speak from a title today, Grow in the Gift. Grow in the gift. My prayer is that throughout this series, you've been growing. Those who have embraced your call, I pray that you're increasing in that call. Those who maybe are still a little confused about, man, God, what have you called me to do? That you're more open to hearing the voice of the Lord. On last Sunday, we were in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And we talked about the fruits of the call, the fruits of the call. Just some points in review to help us to really embrace this second and final part of this chapter. Stir it up. We talked about that. The calling that's on our lives, the giftings that the Lord has given us, we got to stir it up. We got to realize that it is a blessing from the Lord and be thankful. These Christians during Peter's time, they were actually dying for their faith, and they were getting disheartened. They were getting tired. And he said, you got to stir it up and realize that comes from the power of God. And then we talked about haters. Anytime we grow in the Lord, and we really start to embrace what he's doing in our lives, we're going to have some people that disagree. Some of you may have came through Thanksgiving and maybe God put a word on your heart to reach out to someone and they didn't like it. Or maybe you were leader of your family and they were expecting you to pray a short prayer, but God moved on your heart and it was a longer prayer and you weren't liked for that. It's okay. As we embrace that calling, we really learn how to rest in the Lord. And then that another point we talked about was the word of God. We're going to deal with that. The word of God is what, when we get it on the inside of us, when we start reading it and meditating it, man, it causes us to want to grow more and more in the gift. And then we talked about time. I told you on last Sunday, that was, man, a challenging point for me, that we all have to realize that we're constrained by time. God is outside of time. So we have a limited amount of opportunity to touch those that are around us. And then finally, we talked about the fruit. God wants us to produce fruit. Remember that cherry tree I dealt with on last Sunday, that you know what? It has blossoms on it, but without the fruit, it's missing something. And so as saints of God, we're not just supposed to look good, look like we go to church or be at church. We want to produce fruit. We want that calling to come forth, that lives can be touched and be drawn to who Jesus is. Our time frame again is about 63 AD. Remember from 1 Peter, we dealt specifically with the persecution when we were there. And now as we go to this 2 Peter, we deal with exemplifying who God is, that even through persecution, even through struggle, we want God's giftings and callings to be fulfilled within our life. We want to make sure that we're not getting dissuaded by false teachings and false doctrines, but we want to make sure I am hearing from the Lord and he is ordering my steps and being used in this season. Let's get into 2 Peter 3:10. We've just talked about in this chapter, we were talking about the word of God and how that word of God created the heavens, the earth. That word of God even allowed the judgment during Noah's time. But also the word of God, the power, is going to bring judgments within Revelations. 2 Peter 3:10, as we transition, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Here's the first point. He's coming back soon. Yes, he's coming back soon. As we're growing in our gift, again, realize time is winding up for us. And because of that, we've got to make sure that we're not getting distracted, that we're not wasting time. Late gospel recording artist, Reverend Timothy Wright, interesting enough, was his life was cut short in a tragic car accident. He actually passed away from the injuries. His wife, in her late 50s, was immediately killed in that. And his grandson, around 14, 15 years old, also died from that accident. And so I find that very profound when we read through these lyrics, because I believe that sometimes God can move in our hearts and be very prophetic of things to come. He writes this song. He says, "You've been running and running, running for a long time. Your time is winding up. You better make up your mind. It's getting late in the evening. The sun is going down. Better get right while he may be found. Where do you stand? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Come on, come on. I'm on the Lord's side." That's why it's imperative that we grow in the gift, because we just don't know when we're going to be called home. We don't know when our last heartbeat, our last breath will be, but God knows, and therefore we have to trust him. Look closely at this second Peter, that third chapter and 10th verse again. It says in about that second part, "In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Saints, I tell you, as I've studied the scriptures and I've gone through, especially in school, man, we became aware in elementary school more of our nuclear challenges, and we had the Cold War and all the things that were going on with Russia, then Soviet Union, and this missile building up, and we were concerned. Everybody's concerned, and even now we're concerned with so many others being able to get this power of nuclear energy, and you can't help but think about this melting and loud noise when you read this particular scripture. Dr. John MacArthur, a pastor of Grace Community Church since like 1969, he writes, he really captures what's going on within this verse. He says, "The heavens refer to the physical universe. The roar connotes a whistling or a crackling sound as objects being consumed by flames. God will incinerate the universe, probably in an atomic reaction that disintegrates all matter as we know it. The elements are the atomic components in which matter is ultimately divisible, which make up the composition of the created matter." Peter means that the atoms, neutrons, and protons and electrons are all going to disintegrate. Isn't that amazing? That the power of God, it's not going to be about by nuclear fission, necessarily by man doing it. God is going to bring forth this. The whole of the physical natural earth in its present form, with this entire universe, will be consumed. That's why we got to grow in a gift. We want to make sure that we're being used in this season and in this times. Saints, we've got to walk in the fulfillment of our calling as we think about we're getting closer to that point of Jesus coming back in judgment, and he's putting everything in place, a new heaven and a new earth. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says it like this, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." But look at that fourth verse. "But you," can you put in the chat, "but you," can you say wherever you're sitting, standing, "but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Grow in the gift. Saints, please, please, God is speaking to our hearts to walk in the fulfillment of our calling. He's speaking to us on a daily basis to reach out to him more and to pray without ceasing and to get in our word. And he's put on my heart as a pastor of Ebenezer and other pastors of other churches to encourage the saints that it's time to grow in the gift. Look at 2 Peter 3:11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Can you put in the chat, "That means me"? Yes, that means me. Wherever you're sitting, standing, say, "That means me." He's speaking to us. Yes, those saints are going through persecution. They're losing their lives, but they have to be encouraged also to grow in their gift. Again, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct, in godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. He continues on to drive that point via the Holy Spirit. Here's the point I want to bring out of this. Step up. Yes, step up. Step up. So many times we can become lackadaisical. We can just be tired in our devotion to the Lord. I have seen a change. The scripture talks about a falling away. I've seen that not just in numbers, but with the devotion, the focus. It seems like a generation or so ago, a couple generations, that saints were focused. They were devoted to their call, devoted to wanting to be used of the Lord, setting aside tremendous amount of times just to be connected to the ministry. But in this season of social media, and we've got so many devices, and we've got so many things that are being poured into our eye gates and our ear gates, I am telling you, got to reach in if you want to grow in the gift. I'm using this term, though, in the definition to succeed in meeting a challenge as by increased effort or improved performance. God literally wants us to grow. He wants us to become better at hearing his voice and better at discerning things. He wants us to become better in understanding who he is, that maturation process that he's desiring within our lives. We put so much time, hear me, in things that are going to pass away. Yes, we spend so much. I want you to start looking at your day and just realizing how much time we actually waste. We waste it on houses and lands and cars and jobs and monies and clothes and food and phones and computers, and it continues on and on. So much time, and all of those things, they can be good as long as they're where God would have them to be. But please, all of those things are going to pass away. So we've got to invest more time in the spirituality that God is producing in us so that we can grow in our gifts and understanding who he is and realizing he is going to return. His coming is becoming even more imminent as we see everything fall into place as we look at our society. Walking in the fulfillment of our call should be, here it is, top priority. We've got to make sure that it is everything in our lives simply because there are people who are going through. Are you ready for his return? Yes, are you actually ready for Jesus to come back? Because as we look at those people that are troubled and struggling, we got to get the news to him, because we don't want them to crack the sky. And when we could have actually witnessed to our neighbors, our coworkers, those that are around, and we missed that opportunity, we need to grow in the gift. These are the actual two last verses in the Bible. And I find it giving me a lot of awareness of God's heart in Revelations 22:20. Listen to this. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. In the chat, can you put quickly, quickly, wherever you're standing, sitting, just say quickly, quickly. He is coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we find out the Holy Spirit kind of pushes the after here. He says, okay, I want you to agree with that. Can we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, that we want him? Or are we asking for more time? God, give us more time. Look at this, Revelation 22:21, final verse of the Bible. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All that we grow in the gift and this grace, this unmerited favor that he gives upon all men that call on his name. Look at 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That does that kind of reverberate with your heart, that, man, I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth, especially as we see things falling apart? I was going behind a car the other day, and lo and behold, I don't know, they had gone to some restaurant and they just threw the trash out the window, and it just troubled my heart. I'm like, don't you have a trash can wherever you're going, a trash can in your house? But we find out that this earth is going through, we find out natural disasters are coming one after another. I call them judgments of God are really hitting, and it's letting us know it's getting close. That 2 Peter 3:14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Can you just say peace, peace, peace? Put in the chat, peace, peace, without spot and blameless. Here's the point. The promise keeper. Yes. The promise keeper. Our God will keep his promises. Can you repeat after me? I want you to get this, please. Our God will keep his promises. I'm telling you, that does. I'm saying it for myself too. Let's do it one more time. Our God will keep his promises. In a world where covenant relationships are broken so easily, in a world where people can get lawyers and get out of their promise, or they just forget about their promise, they just walk away from their promise, it is so good to know that we serve a God, Elohim, who keeps his promises. The old saying say he may not show up when we want him, but he's always on time. I'm talking about grow in the gift. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth will pass away. Listen to this. But my words will by no means pass away. Isn't that good news? His word is going to be faithful. He is going to do what he told us he's going to do, because we know that God is a promise keeper. Just scream out, promise keeper. He is a promise keeper. Look at this, 2 Peter 3:13. It says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what our desire as we're growing in the gift. We're like, Lord, I want to be used, but I'm looking for a new heaven and new earth. I'm looking for the transformative process to take place as we're growing more in the gift that God has put in our lives, because that's the example that Jesus left us with. As we grow in our calling, there are expectations. Look at this, 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, it says, be diligent. We got to work at this stuff. This does not come by osmosis or anything that sort. We're just not going to put our pillow on the bed and the Bible beside, and all of a sudden it's just going to drip through it. No, you're going to have to work through some stuff. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek his face. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to resist temptation. We've got to decide, God, I am all in as I grow in the gift. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. So many people are troubled. But when we grow in our gift and we understand the fulfillment of the call that God has put on our lives, there becomes peace in us without spot and blameless, because we know that God has us, that he is a promise keeper. Growing in the gift produces a powerful change in our lives. Can you just scream out, change, change, change? Look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Look at this, which is your reasonable service. Yes, it's your reasonable. Yeah, I'm going to work you today in the chat. Put reasonable. I know it's a little longer word, but just type it out, reasonable. Wherever you are, say reasonable. That means that's the baseline. As we're growing out of gift, that's to give everything to him is the baseline. Look at that, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. So often we're lacking in the growth process of our gift because we're being conformed to this world. We're getting caught up with the latest this and that. We're so caught up with, going to the left, swiping to the right. Simply, we're missing out on taking time. We're so caught up in the latest news, so caught up in the latest gossip. We're not taking time to really seek God's face and how he wants to use us. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to get it in our mind, growing in the gift, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to use us now. Look at that, 2 Peter 3:15, growing the gift. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist into their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Here's the point. Long suffering. Yes, long suffering. That's always been a challenge. Anytime you see long suffering as one word within the scriptures, we're going to break it, what it actually means. But actually, this long suffering is going to be applied to the Lord himself. Let me show you. The Contemporary English Version translated like this in 2 Peter 3:15. Don't forget that the Lord is patient. Can you just say patient? Put in the chat, patient. It's very important. No, he is patient, that long suffering, because he wants people to be saved. This is also what our dear friend Paul said when he wrote to you with the wisdom that God had given him. God wants more people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth of him. That's why he desires us, wants us, encourages us to grow in our gift. He's given us more time. He's patient. He's long suffering with us, giving us more time that more souls can come and know know who God is, that we can grow in the scriptures and we can get closer to his presence. But remember, we are living epistles. We are walking Bibles in this season, in this time. 2 Corinthians 3:1 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? 2 Corinthians 3:2, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Isn't that good? Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. We've got to grow in the gift, and as we grow more in the gift, people literally can read the scriptures. They can read who God is by the way we live, the way we talk, because he is all over us as we're growing in the gift. Let's look at this final section, 2 Peter 3:17. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Final point, tough one. Surrender all. Yes, surrender all. As we grow in our gifts, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. And in that battle, the enemy is constantly coming, pushing at us. He's beating on us, and he's trying to get us from being steadfast. He's trying to get us out of prayer. He's trying to get us out of scripture reading. He's trying to get us out of devotion and out of fellowship, out of walking and encouraging the saints, out of actually caring about growing in the gift that God has placed in our lives. We've got to surrender our lives more and more to him. Justin W. Van Aventer in 1896 writes this particular song lyrics, and I've used this many times. This is a challenging song for me, and I believe it's a challenging song for you. And when he pens this, it is so power and poignant as we think about our lives. It says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Think about that. If we just embrace that first stanza there, our lives would be totally transformed, changed in the growing of the gift. But that second stanza says, all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. It's not something that just happens on Sunday or when we're in the presence of the saints. This is every day when we get up, we can sense God's presence, and we can think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us and is doing for us on our jobs and when we're driving. And then that third stanza, growing in the gift, it says, all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. Growing in that gift. And he says, I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. We got to grow in the gift, but I don't want to forget this scripture, this 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow. Can you put in the chat, grow, grow? Can you say just grow? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants us to learn more about him. He wants us to get closer to him. He wants us to embrace him more. To him be the glory both now, forever, and ever. Amen. Reverend John Wesley, English preacher and co-founder of the Methodist faith, he says this, a profound thought. He says, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the times you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as ever you can. I'm going to try to say that again. I want you to get it. He says, do all the things you can in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the times you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as ever you can. Saints, our time is limited here. We've got to understand, as I said earlier, time is winding up, but we've got to grow in our gifts so we can help others. Isn't that example that Jesus left for us? Remember him. He came from heaven to earth to walk among men. He's born of a Virgin Mary, but something happens at the age of 12. They came back for the feast, which was a general tradition, and in that midst, it was a large caravan of people, and they're making their way back, and they're into their journey for a good little bit, and they look around, and they can't find Jesus. Joseph and Mary have lost Jesus in their mind. They circle back around and come back to the city. They find Jesus among the scholars and the scribes, and he's there in the midst of them, talking to them and showing forth the power of the Father in his life, and he makes this profound statement. I'm talking about growing the gift of Luke 2:49. And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" That's my encouragement for the saints today. We got to be about the Father's business. We got to grow in the gift. We got to make sure every day is about the Lord. I thank God for times of respite, but even in our respite times, we've got to continue to seek the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But even after this, we're told in the scriptures, Luke 2:51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased, here it is, wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Saints of God, are you increasing? Can you scream out increase? Can you put in the chat increase? Anybody want to grow in the gift that God has put in our lives? But aren't you glad that he continued to grow and he came into that public ministry at the age of 30? I love this scripture of Luke 4:18. It said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed." There ought to be some shouts of praise thanking God for growing in the gift. But look at that 4:19, "to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. I just want you to thank the Lord right now for a God that showed us how to grow in the gift. And the eyes of all those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Luke 4:21, "and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Oh, that the saints grow in their gift. Oh, that people can see God moving in our lives. But I'm so glad that the gift showed us something as he went through his ministry. It turned water to wine. It caused Jesus to walk on water. It caused the blind people to see and the lame to walk. But I'm glad he didn't stop right there. There ought to be some saints that say, "I know where you're going, Pastor." The gift took him to the cross of Calvary where he had nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He dies on the cross of Calvary for you and me. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, that gift gets up with all power and all glory, and it's the gift that keeps on giving because he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now he's praying for us that we can grow in the gift. He's praying for us that we can stay focused. He's praying for us that we'll witness to those that are around us that God is still in the saving business. Saints, he's coming back. Those who don't know him, he's coming back. But we do have now. Can you put in the chat now? Can you scream out now? We've got now. That next second is not promised, but we got right now. And so in that now moment, let's pray, God, help us to grow in the gift. If you're listening and looking and you don't know who Jesus is, you know what? The only one that can save you, I can't save you. Your friends can't save you. Only Jesus can. Scriptures are clear. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from him. Will you receive that gift so that you can grow in the gift? And man, when we call on him, he begins to do a wonderful thing in our lives. To the saints, I want you to step up. Remember that point? I want you to decide today, I'm going to read more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to discipline myself. I want to be used of God. Ask him to use you today. Don't wait. Ask him for this now moment. God, help me. The enemy is going to come in quickly. He is. Man, he's going to come in. He's going to try to steal the word. Man, I can sense some of you. You're like, okay, God, I'm going to step up. But you can't wait because the enemy's going to come. He's going to try to steal that seed. But you just ask God to protect it because you know what? He's a promise keeper. He will keep you and hold you so the enemy can't touch you. I just want us all to just pray together right now as we think about the giftings, the callings that God has put on our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. I thank you for these saints exemplifying who you are. God, even though they're going through immense persecution and context, and some of them were dying, Lord, thank you for that example that they stayed faithful. Lord, help us even in this season and time that we don't have, at least here in the United States yet, people in droves dying for their faith. But Lord, we got other challenges. The enemy has come and hoodwinked and bamboozled so many by other distractions that are so prolific in our society. But God, help us to hear your voice. Help us to decide today we're going to grow in the gift. Holy Spirit, help us as you order our steps. We thank you for using us today. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Yes, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. I said, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. If you down and can't get up, tell him what you want. Yes, if you down and can't get up, you just tell him what you want. I said, if you down and can't get up, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. I said, Jesus on the main line. Yes, Jesus on the main line. You just tell him what you want. I said, if you down and can't get up, tell him what you want. I said, Jesus on the main line now.